بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونشكره ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصهما فقد غوى حتى يفيء إلى أمر الله، وإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولن يضر الله شيئا. وقال الله عز من قائل: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The title of today's talk, as has been advertised and announced, is the scholarly zeal of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. As Mulana Ismail Saab just kindly explained, one of the main reasons for choosing the lives of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu to discuss is that they are our standard. We follow in their footsteps. They are, after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most perfect and sublime example for us to follow, to emulate, to adopt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually set their iman, their faith, their belief, their character and behavior as a standard by which Allah shall judge all who are to follow them and come after them. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah says, if they believe as you have believed, meaning Allah is addressing the companions, that if these people believe as you have believed, then they have found guidance. So their iman should be like your iman. Their belief should be like your belief. Their faith should match your faith. If they achieve that, then they have found guidance. But if they turn away, then they are in a common dispute. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah says, whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after guidance has become clear for him and follows the path other than the path of the believers, we shall twist him in the direction to which he has turned himself, and then we shall thrust him into the fire of Jahannam. An evil and abode it is. So what's the meaning? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, disobeys him, and adopts a path, follows a path which is different to that of the mu'mineen. Now, who does Allah refer to in this verse? The mu'mineen, meaning the believers. All the general believers? No. The believers whose path is being referred to in this verse specifically means the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu. So those who disobey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oppose his ways and follow the path other than the path of the companions. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu would love to remind the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum that when Allah says in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, that you are the best group of people chosen and selected for the guidance of mankind. You enjoin the good and you forbid the evil. And you believe in Allah. Now, although we love to use this verse to refer to all the believers and to refer to ourselves, we should never forget that this is secondary. Primarily, the reference in this verse, the addressees of this verse, are none other than the select group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When Allah says, "You are the best ummah," you are ummah doesn't mean the whole ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although, as a secondary meaning, it's valid and it's applicable. But primarily, the word ummah here means group, jama'ah, a certain selection of people, and they are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That famous hadith, that مَا رَآهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنًا. That whatever the believers, or whatever the Muslims, find to be good and hold to be good, then that thing is good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith that, it's actually, some scholars will say it's not a hadith, but rather the saying of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. In any case, that's a scholarly debate, but commonly people quote this saying, that whatever the Muslims believe and hold as being good, then it's good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some people actually use that as evidence, that if all the Muslims are engaged in one particular practice, then surely that they believe it as being good, therefore it must be good with Allah. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu actually mentioned this phrase right at the end of a longer narration in which he speaks about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, meaning when it's said that what the believers hold to be good, then it's good with Allah, and what the believers hold to be undesirable, then that's undesirable with Allah. He is referring to none other than the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What the Sahaba believe to be good is good with Allah. What the Sahaba believe to be impious and undesirable and reprehensible is so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us, the companions are the standard of faith, of practice, of example. They are the supreme example for us to follow. We follow in their footsteps. And that's what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum taught. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed his believers. So inshallah, as Mawlana Ismail Sahib has just explained, one of the ideas was that maybe we should speak about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, have a series in which we shall discuss their lives, but in a different way, from a different angle, rather than just discuss their lives in chronological order, saying, well, he was born here, and he did this, and he lived like this, and he died like this. Let's focus on certain aspects, and one of them is their sacrifice for learning, their zeal for knowledge, and the privations and the difficulties that they endured in that process. So, inshallah, over the next few months, I will most likely be concentrating on some Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were hallmarks and hall bearers of knowledge, such as Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. We begin with him simply because he's the one who has narrated the most ahadith. Then, inshallah, next month, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, a very misunderstood and misaligned companion, but a supreme companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then inshallah over the next few months, Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. Inshallah I'll address their lives over the next few months. In any case, these are some of the most famous and prolific narrators amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhum. So, let's speak about Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. We often hear the name Abu Hurairah, Abu Hurairah, Abu Hurairah, but if we actually study his life and how he came to learn, memorize, know and preserve so much, then maybe we can also make an attempt to follow in his footsteps, in offering the same sacrifice, in harboring the same zeal of knowledge. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was originally from Yemen, and he grew up to be, he was a non-Muslim, and he heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was a Sahabi radiallahu anhu in Yemen. So he embraced Islam at the hands of this other companion. Very late. This may be very surprising to hear and learn, but Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu only became a Muslim in the beginning of the 7th year of Hijrah. Very late. That's almost 20 years after the Qur'an was first revealed. Almost 20 years after the Prophet ﷺ first proclaimed his prophethood. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu embraced Islam in Yemen, came to Medina. Prophet ﷺ was engaged in the campaign of Khaybar at the beginning of the 7th year of Hijrah. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu then went to Khaybar to join the Prophet ﷺ. He arrived in Medina just before Fajr. And he prayed Fajr Salah behind the Imam that the Prophet ﷺ had appointed. And then he later proceeded to Khaybar, which is approximately 100 miles north of Medina. And there he joined the Prophet ﷺ. From that moment onwards, for the next 4 years until the Prophet ﷺ passed away in Rabi'ul Awwal, in the 11th year of Hijrah, in the beginning of the 11th year of Hijrah, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu remained with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And despite arriving so late, despite embracing Islam so late, he miraculously became the one who learnt and heard and memorized more ahadith than any other companion. Even more than Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha would question him about that. One occasion, when he visited her, or she summoned him, one of the two, she said, "Oh, Abu Hurairah, how come you narrate so many ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So many. We were there. You narrate ahadith that even we didn't hear." So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, "Oh, mother." He did address her as mother. He said, "Ya ummata." He said, "Oh, mother. You see, I wasn't preoccupied with the mirror, with the kuhl, and with oil, as you were, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I wasn't preoccupied with these things. So I was able to devote myself totally to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus I heard what you didn't hear." So Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said, "Maybe." So even more than the very wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anha heard and memorized more ahadith. But it didn't come just like that. It came with zeal, with devotion, with dedication, with sacrifice, with piety, with humility. Knowledge does not come without these things. Never. No one can attain true knowledge without humility. Allah says in the Quran, "سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينِ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ." Soon I shall turn away from my signs those who are arrogant upon the earth without right. Humility, sacrifice, sincerity of intention, purity of motive. And that's exactly what Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu demonstrated. From that moment onwards, he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he did hijrah to Medina, his mother joined him. But his mother was still a non-Muslim. And Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu's attachment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was beautiful. He loved him dearly. And again, none of this can be achieved without that love, sacrifice, dedication and devotion. The true love of the companions. Long after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once a narrator says, "I entered the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was seated with a group of people around him who were listening to him narrate hadith. And I heard him say," Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, "حدثني خليلي أبو القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم that my best friend, my beloved friend, أبو القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم narrated to me." And then Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه stopped. His eyes swelled up with tears and he began weeping. Then he attempted to speak again a second time, saying, "حدثني خليلي أبو القاسم Nabiullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my most beloved friend, Abu al-Qasim, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, related to me, and then again his eyes swelled up with further tears and he began to weep further. And then, having attempted to relate the hadith twice, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu stood up and left. That was the love he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result of that love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him beloved to the mu'mineen. Without doubt, one of the reasons for speaking about Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is that, unfortunately, as is always the case, if you can't deny the truth, deny the messenger of the truth. If you can't attack the truth, assassinate the character of the messenger of truth. If you can't deny knowledge, then assassinate the character of the bearer of knowledge. If you cannot dispute reality, then dispute the honesty and integrity of the conveyor of that reality. It's always been the case. And this is true with Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. People throughout the centuries till today have not liked what Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu has related. And people have attacked Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, questioned him, questioned his integrity, his honesty, his preservation, his memory, everything about him, including his character. And what reason is there to do that? Simple. If you can assassinate the character of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, you demolish that great edifice of hadith that he has related. No need to attack the hadith, just attack Abu Hurairah. The same with Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu bequeathed a great legacy of knowledge, of piety, of wisdom, of jurisprudence and learning in Iraq. Some people have a problem with that. So what do? Attack Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Then no need to answer anything else. Same with Sayyidina Abu Hurairah. When it comes to hadith, attack the character of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. But there will always be this division. That there are those who loathe Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, but then there are the true believers in whose hearts Allah has miraculously instilled love for Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. How? Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu himself relates. He told one of his students, and he had many. Do you know? He had more than 800 students. And we're not talking about someone who came once, heard him say something and went away. We're talking about 800 people who learnt from him, related from him. And they included Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum would relate from Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, who embraced Islam many years before, a man of piety and learning. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu once related a hadith. And you know what he said? He didn't say, "I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say." He said, "I heard Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu say." That he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say. So the one who was hearing the hadith said, "You relate from Abu Hurairah even though you are who you are, and you were the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he first arrived in Medina. He set up residence with you." So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu said, "I would rather relate, and it is more beloved to me that I say that I heard Abu Hurairah, who heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, than I should say that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say when I never heard it from him." So even senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum would relate from Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So once Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said to one of his students, one of the narrators, he said, "There is no believer except that Allah will cast my love in his heart. There is no believer, there is no mu'min except that Allah will cast my love in his heart." So he said, "How can that be? How can you say that? How can you say every mu'min will love you? How can you say with such authority, such belief and conviction, so categorically, that there is no mu'min except that he will love me?" So he said, "I'll tell you why. When I came to Medina, my mother was not yet a Muslim. So I used to invite her to Islam. And she used to refuse to listen to me. She wouldn't accept. One day, I spoke to her again about Islam. And on that occasion, she abused the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She abused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I wept. I wept out of grief and sorrow. And I said, Ya Rasulullah, pray for my mother that Allah guides her to the truth of Islam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the spot made dua, O Allah, guide the mother of Abu Huraira to Islam. As soon as he heard this dua, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu stood up and began running home. Why? Just to give glad tidings to his mother that the Prophet has prayed for you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine the belief and conviction they had? All he heard was one single dua. He left the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, began running home to give his mother the glad tidings that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prayed for you, that, O Allah, guide the mother of Abu Hurairah to Islam. He said, when I arrived home, the door was locked and I heard the splashing of water. And my mother realized that I was at the door. She said, stay where you are. And then she came out. After having bathed, I was waiting there. She was splashing of water was because she was bathing. She came out. Before I could say anything, she had worn fresh clothes and she was just slipping on the headscarf over her head. And she declared, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I went running back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I arrived, earlier on I was weeping out of sorrow and grief. Now I began weeping out of joy and happiness. And I gave him the glad tidings. And then I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah make me and my mother beloved to the believers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately made dua, O Allah, Allahumma habbib 'ubaydaka hadha ila al-mu'minin wa ummuhu ila al-mu'minin wa habbibhum ilayhima. That, O Allah, make this servant of yours and his mother beloved to the believers and make the believers beloved to them both. And that dua was accepted without doubt. A mu'min will love Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu out of the barakah and the blessing of this dua. Without doubt. So there will always be those who loathe him, who criticize him, not just criticize him, but who denigrate him, who assassinate his character. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu has been specifically targeted from amongst the companions and subjected to all manner of not just scholarly or pseudo-scholarly criticism, but actual abuse. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. But there will always be those who loathe him, whilst the mu'mineen, through the barakah of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will love him. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu began remaining in the company of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? Just outside the masjid. Well, actually, as part of the masjid, outside the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an open area known as a veranda, the suffa. And there the poor Sahaba radiallahu anhum would remain seated. They were the students, they were the devotees, they were the disciples of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. They learnt from him. They wouldn't go anywhere, they were poor. People would, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, if he would ever receive sadaqah, he would not take part of that sadaqah himself, partake of that sadaqah in any way, but the charity he would distribute specifically amongst the people of Suffa. And sometimes when he would receive a gift, then because it was a gift and he wasn't sadaqah, he would take part of the gift and give the rest to these same companions who would be seated in Suffa. They were known as the companions of the veranda, the Ahlul Suffa. They were the poor, but those who remained with Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And the beautiful stories of that period, of that time. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was one of them. He abandoned everything. He left everything. Only to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To serve him. To attend to his needs. To wait upon him. To learn from him. To catch what he said. To hear him say. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Ilm, he has one chapter on Babu Hifz al-Ilm, chapter of the preservation of knowledge. And Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a genius. His selection, his choice of words, his order, his procedure, everything signified something. Everything. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, even took an undertaking that I will never repeat a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. And if I do, and there are many repetitions, if I do, it will only be because there is a point to make. So he will repeat the same hadith. The words are the same, but the narrators are different. The narrators are the same, but the wording is different. Bukhari was very, very precise, a genius. And everything that he says has a point. That's why the ulama, there have been more than 130 commentaries on Sahih al-Bukhari by different ulama. And each of the, but not entire commentaries, but 130 different kinds of works on Bukhari, each one of them addressing, many of them commentaries, but some of them trying to decipher his chapter headings, others trying to decipher his suspended or mu'allaq riwayat and narrations. It's very complex, but Bukhari was a genius. Everything that he said, his choice of ahadith, his selection of words, meant something. And in Kitab al-Ilm, in the Book of Knowledge, in the specific chapter, Bab Hifdh al-Ilm, chapter on the preservation of knowledge, I've never read this anymore, it's just something I gathered. Uniquely, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi has done something. He's only mentioned three hadith. And do you know all three of these hadith are? The narrator is Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the text of the hadith is about Sayyidina Abu Hurairah himself. It's not like once Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relating a hadith about the virtue of preserving knowledge. No. He has only mentioned three hadith. All three hadith are the narrations of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And the content and the topic of all three hadith is the very person of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. What does that signify? That Bukhari, in the Book of Knowledge, in the chapter specifically about the preservation of knowledge, he has chosen only three hadith. All three hadith have been narrated by one companion, and the content is about that same one companion. And who was he? None other than Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Why? He is the one who has preserved the knowledge of this ummah. When he was buried, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma stood over his grave and continued to make dua for him, saying, and those who were around him heard him say, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was saying, may Allah have mercy on Abu Hurairah. May Allah have mercy on Abu Hurairah. May Allah have mercy on Abu Hurairah. Continuously, he preserved the knowledge of the ummah for the ummah. But how did he achieve that? He says himself, in that first hadith from those three hadith of Bab Hifdh al-Ilm, the chapter of preserving knowledge, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, and the hadith is expanded on by others. So let me just explain the story. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he knew people would say, you narrate too many hadith, just like Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha told him. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anha told him the same, that you narrate too many hadith. Be careful. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu told him, that, oh Abu Hurairah, be careful of what you narrate. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu once said, everybody says that Abu Hurairah narrates too many ahadith. He narrates too many ahadith. So he said, I'll tell you why. He said, you see, when I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was one of the people of the veranda, one of the people of the suffah. I would not go anywhere. I would not trade in the market. I would not attend to the tilth or fields or my crops. But remaining hungry and thirsty and facing privations, I would remain in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way that I would suffer hunger, extreme hunger, and such hunger that at times I would fall down in between the house of Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha and the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and people would pass by and they would place their feet on my neck thinking that I was mad. People believed, there was a belief that those who suffered from epilepsy, those who suffered from a certain form of mental illness, they would fall down unconscious on the floor or close to unconsciousness. And The Arabs believed that one method of curing them was to sit on their chest or to apply pressure with the body and feet on their necks. So people, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, I would fall down unconscious and people would come. Some would sit on my chest to try and cure me and do something for me. Others would place their feet and apply pressure on my neck. And I would actually raise my head and say to them, I am not mad, but by Allah, this is hunger. I am not mad, this is hunger. So you say, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, once I was so hungry that I saw Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So I stood up to follow him. And I wanted to strike up a conversation with him so that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu would tell me, come with me. And I would remain conversing with him until Abu Bakr as-Siddiq would arrive home and maybe he would feed me. So I stood up, I followed Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I asked him a question about a verse of the Qur'an. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu didn't pay me much attention. He answered him, didn't pay me much attention and walked on. I then followed Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu didn't understand either and he carried on. So I came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by and he saw the look on my face. He knew my need and he said, oh Abu Hurairah, rise and follow me. So I went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into his home. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked one of his wives, do you have anything? The wife said, Ya Rasulullah, he is a bowl of milk. So the Prophet said, a bowl of milk. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, where did you get that from? She said, someone sent it as a gift. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the bowl, turned around and said, Abu Hurairah, go and call the people of Suffa, the companions of the veranda. Wallahi, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says in the hadith, that I wish that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't have told me to go and call anybody else. I desired that he would just give me the bowl of milk. But he told me to go, and he actually says, I had no choice but to obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is another beautiful phrase. Many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell him to do something, including the wives, they would use the phrase, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would never say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, I had no choice but to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I went. And I called the companions of the veranda, of the Suffa, and they came. Group by group, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to add to his pain and hunger, he gave him the bowl of milk and said, feed them. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu took the bowl of milk and went to each group of the companions and said, drink, drink. Each Sahabi radiallahu anhu drank to his fill, but wallahi, the milk was the same. Finally, when all of the companions of the veranda had drunk, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu brought the bowl of milk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at him and said, oh Abu Hurairah, there only remains the two of us. Drink. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu began drinking. He said, I drank to my fill. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, drink again. I drank for the second time to my fill. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, drink again for the third time. I drank again. For the fourth time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, drink. I said, by Allah, there is no space in my stomach to take any more. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the bowl and with one sip, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished the milk. Wallahi, these are ahadith. But apart from the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, look at the sacrifice of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Falling down unconscious between the mimbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the house of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha out of hunger. Long afterwards, one of the narrators says, we were seated with Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wanted to spit. So he took out a piece of cloth, a handkerchief, cotton handkerchief. And remember, cotton was considered quite a luxurious item in those days. Smooth, unlike the coarse wool. So he took out a handkerchief of cotton and he spat into the handkerchief whilst everybody was watching. And then addressing himself, he said, Wah, O Abu Hurairah. Wah. Look at you. O Abu Huraira, you now spit into a handkerchief of cotton, of smooth cloth. But do you remember the time when you would fall down unconscious out of hunger between the minbar and the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So he suffered immensely, but all of it was in the way of Allah, was in the way of gaining knowledge. He would fall down unconscious and people would think he was mad. He would say, there is no madness with me, this is only hunger. But he chose to remain with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in that hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, after relating this incident, he says, by Allah, the companions say that Abu Huraira has narrated a hadith excessively. The only reason is that my brethren from amongst the muhajirun, the emigrant companions, they would be busy trading in the marketplace, and my brethren from amongst the ansar, they would be busy in their fields, tending to their tilth and their crops. But Abu Huraira would neither attend to his fields, nor would Abu Huraira trade in the markets. Rather, with the pain and the pangs of hunger, with an empty stomach, Abu Huraira would cling on to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thus, he was present when they were absent, and he heard when they could not hear. He saw what they could not see. That's why. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum testified to that. They testified to his knowledge, to his learning. All of them. Even Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi relates hadith. Prophet sallallahu and others. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, man as'adun nasi bi shafa'atik. O Prophet of Allah, who is the most fortunate of the whole of mankind? Who is the most fortunate of people with your intercession? Do you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him? He didn't just say, Abu Huraira, this is the answer. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Huraira, I thought that no one other than you would first ask me this question because of your desire and your eagerness for hadith, for knowledge. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, أسعد الناس بشفاعة يوم القيامة من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من نفسه. That the one who is the most fortunate of all people with my intercession is someone who says لا إله إلا الله sincerely with his heart. In any case, the point of the hadith is even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, I knew that no one else but you would first ask me this question. Why? Because of your desire and your learning for knowledge. Your desire for and yearning for knowledge. Once Imam Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi relates a hadith in his Mustadrak that Sayyidina Abu Huraira, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually said about Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, wa'a'un min al-ilm, that Abu Huraira is a container of knowledge. That's testimony of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam. But the love was there, the sacrifice was there, the zeal was there. Once, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, again this is a hadith of Bukhari. Full story is this, part of the hadith is in Bukhari, the others contained in other books. Full story is this, that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would relate the hadith that whoever attends the funeral prayer, فَلَهُ قِيرَات, he shall enjoy one qirat. Whoever attends the funeral shall enjoy one qirat. Whoever performs a funeral prayer shall enjoy another qirat. So for all the different stages of involvement in a funeral, visiting the house of the bereaved, offering one's commiserations and condolences, participating in the preparation of the funeral, participating in the funeral prayer, participating in the actual burial, all of these different stages of funeral, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would relate that whoever takes part in them, he shall enjoy one qirat of reward. And one qirat was a measurement. But one qirat is not just a few pennies, but rather each qirat would be the equivalent of Mount Uhud. Each qirat would be equivalent of Mount Uhud in weight, in measure, in magnitude on the day of reckoning. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would relate this hadith. Someone said this to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Even though Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma was himself a prolific narrator. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, when he met Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he said to him, "O Abu Hurairah, be careful, be mindful of what you relate from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And then he spoke to him about this hadith, that you relate that whoever participates in the funeral at the different stages, he should enjoy one qirat of reward. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, what he did is that he sent a messenger. He said, "Go and ask Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, that did you hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say this about anyone who participates in the funeral, that he shall enjoy one qirat of reward?" So the person went. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha testified. He came back. He told Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu proved the point to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar. And then he stood up, he grabbed the hand of Abdullah ibn Umar, and he went with Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma to Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha. Both of them. And then Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha was asked by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu said, "O Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha, tell us," even though he had already asked, he said, "Tell us, did you hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say this?" So she testified again. Then Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu turned to Abdullah ibn Umar and said, "Oh Abdullah ibn Umar, I was never preoccupied with trading in the marketplace or with attending to my crops in the field, but I was always in the company of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma testified, and you know what his testimony was? He said, "Oh Abu Hurairah, كُنْتَ أَلْزَمَنَا وَأَعْلَمَنَا بِحَدِيثِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ O Abu Hurairah, indeed, you were the one who spent the most time in the company and who clung on to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you are the one with the most knowledge of the hadith of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam from amongst us. Without doubt, sacrifice. He faced hunger. He disposed of wealth. And that's how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were. I've mentioned this story before. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. I'll be finishing very shortly. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Again, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi relates this hadith, and so to others that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu came to the door of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Knocked on the door. Never heard a reply. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari went back. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he had heard him, but he was preoccupied, so he didn't answer immediately. When Sayyidina Umar finished what he was doing, he turned around and said, "I heard Abu Musa. Call him." So when they went to the door, Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu had disappeared. So Sayyidina Umar, being Sayyidina Umar, he summoned him, he said, "Call him, bring him back." Sayyidina Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu came. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu said, "Why did you go away when you knocked?" So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, "I heard the Prophet sallallahu," because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that you knock thrice, and if you don't hear or receive permission, then you leave. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Watch what you're saying, otherwise I'll make an example of you. Did you hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this? Who else can corroborate this?" Now Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu knew that he had heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. But how is he going to find someone who will corroborate that? Otherwise he would have to answer to none other than Umar ibn al-Khattab. So Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu went, fretting and fearful for himself. There was a group of companions seated. So he went to them and he said, "I ask you all in the name of Allah, did you hear the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this or not?" They had all heard the same hadith. So they said, "One of you come and testify." You know what the companions did? They said, "We shall send with you the youngest amongst us to make a point." So who was the youngest seated amongst them? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. So they said, "Go." So Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu stood up with Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and both of them went to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, here is Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say exactly what I heard, and he can corroborate my report." The Prophet Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab said to Abu Sa'id, "Did you hear it?" Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu told him. Once he had ratified this report, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, this was his humility. He wasn't arrogant. Wallahi, he was loud. but he wasn't arrogant. There's a great difference between the two. I've said, sitting here on occasions before, that we shouldn't understand humility. We shouldn't misunderstand humility and arrogance. We shouldn't misunderstand softness of speech and volume of speech. Why? Some people, I've said before, and I've divided the categories, some people appear to be humble, but are mentally very arrogant. Very arrogant. Internally, they are extremely arrogant. You know, bowing one's head, speaking in a soft voice, walking humbly, shuffling along, but then still thinking, I am the best. I am the most pious. No one can match me. But when they speak, they are soft of speech. Some may say he's referring to himself. They are soft of speech. They may shuffle when they walk. They may appear to be humble, but internally they are arrogant. Now, we can't judge that about anybody else. Let's speak about ourselves. Humility is when someone is humble without and within, mentally and in every other way. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu may at times have been misunderstood because he was straight. He was straight. Once Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha, she saw a group of people. They were dressed shabbily, shuffling along with heads bowed. So she couldn't understand their demeanor. So she asked someone, who are these people? What are they about? So someone replied, زَعْمُوا أَنَّهُمْ نُسَّاك, that they claim to be great worshippers, that this is part of their worship, that they walk humbly, they shuffle along humbly, they speak softly, they have their heads bowed and lowered. Obviously they were quite excessive in what they were doing. It was imbalanced, it was disproportionate. So Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha said, Sayyidina Umar wasn't like that. Umar radiyallahu anhu wasn't like that. كان عمر إذا تكلم أسمع وإذا مشى أسرع وإذا ضرب أوجع. Umar radiyallahu anhu, when he spoke, he made sure people heard. When he walked fast. And when he hit, it hurt. Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha said. That was Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. He was misunderstood. When he would speak like that, everybody feared him. He told Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Abu Huraira, watch what you're saying. In fact, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, after Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab passed away, he would narrate hadith and he would actually say to those who were listening, he would say, do you think I could have narrated any of this during the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab? He said, wallahi, I used to fear the whip. That was Sayyidina Umar, but he was humble. One of the things mentioned about Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab is kana waqqafan 'inda kitabillah, that he would come to an abrupt halt before the book of Allah. What does that mean? No matter how he was, when someone reminded him what Allah had said, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, Sayyidina Umar would stop. He wouldn't say a word. Always. Khawla bint Tha'laba radiyallahu anha, once Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab was walking with all his entourage and an old woman came shuffling along. She saw him and said, "Hey, Umar ibn al-Khattab." Now she's talking to Amir al-Mu'mineen. "Umar ibn al-Khattab, look at you. I remember the time when you were small. We used to call you Umair." Not even Umar, but a diminutive of Umar, Umair. "We used to call you Umair. And you used to play in front of us. And now look at you, Amir al-Mu'mineen, surrounded by an entourage, this, that." And everybody was looking at one another. How dare this old woman talk to Amir al-Mu'mineen like that? And they were even more surprised at Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, was silent. After she went away, they said to him, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, how could you let her talk to you like that?" Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu said, "Do you know who she is?" They said, "No." He said, "That is Khawlah bint Tha'laba, in whose honor Allah reveals Surah Al-Mujadala, and of which Allah says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, that Allah has heard the words of one who was debating with you regarding her husband. He said, if Allah can listen to her from above the seven heavens, then why can't Umar ibn al-Khattab listen to her? No matter what she said, he remained completely silent. كان وقافا عند كتاب الله. He would come to an abrupt halt before the book of Allah. His whole anger would dissipate and disappear. So he was like that. So he was very fearful of Allah. So again, although he threatened Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, when the child, the youngest Abu Sa'id al-Khudri came and corroborated the report, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was awash with humility. And do you know what he said? He said, "You learnt with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have escaped me because I was too preoccupied with my dunya and trading in the marketplace." Even Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab felt guilty for not spending more time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and lamented his loss of hadith. Even though, as I've explained before, he would spend one day and then one day with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day attending to his personal needs. He would alternate. Still he felt he had lost out. That was the eagerness of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to learn and to hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was exactly the same. Zeal. And the Sahaba attested to that. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Huraira would not forget. Once Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi, relates this hadith in the Sunan. A man came to ask Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu a question. He said to him, "Go and ask Abu Huraira. Don't ask me, go and speak to Abu Huraira. And I'll tell you why." And then Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu related a beautiful story. He says, "One day we were in the masjid. And we were engaged in dhikr and in dua. Myself, Abu Huraira, and a third companion whom he didn't name. So whilst we were engaged in dhikr and in dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid and saw us. We stopped. He came to us and sat down with us. And then he said, 'Go back to whatever you were doing.' So we began making dua. So I made a dua, the two of us, myself and my companion, we both made a dua before Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu made any dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say ameen to our dua." So we would make the dua, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say ameen to that dua. And then it was Abu Hurairah's turn. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu made a dua to Allah. "Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman la yunsa. Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me such knowledge that shall never be forgotten." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said ameen. So Zayd ibn Thabit says, we both quickly said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, pray to Allah that he also grants us knowledge that's never forgotten." Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Sabaqakuma bihum ad-dusi. Sabaqakuma bihad-dusi." That, no, this dusi, he was from the tribe of Dus, Sayyidina Abu Huraira. So he said, "Abu Huraira has beaten you to it." And Sayyidina Abu Huraira would not forget. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi himself relates as one of those three hadith. He says, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, "One day I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, 'Ya Rasulullah, I forget what I hear. I forget what I hear.'" And it's true. It's not like he was very forgetful. There is only one being who neither forgets nor errs. As Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, and Allah quotes of him in the Quran, "La yadhillu rabbi wa la yansa." My Lord does not err, nor does he forget. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget, and nor does Allah err. Everyone else, including the messengers of Allah alayhi wassalatu wassalam, have suffered lapses of errors and have made mistakes. Understand what I'm saying, don't misunderstand me. Have made mistakes or errors in that context, or have forgotten. See, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make, at times, he would make a mistake in his recitation of the Holy Quran. In the Sunan of Imam Nasa'i, I've mentioned this to you before. Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi relates a hadith in the Sunan that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led Fajr Salah. And in Fajr Salah, he was reciting, I believe it was Surah Ar-Rum, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mistakes. He became confused in his recitation. We're all human. It happens to everybody. Everyone forgets, everyone errs. In fact, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi says, أَبَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَعْصِمَ كِتَابًا إِلَّا كِتَابًا. Allah has refused that any book should be free from error except His book. Even a book which is written with great thought and premeditation and diligence. Books contain errors except the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even Bukhari was a genius. His memory was miraculous. It really was indeed. Imam Bukhari would forget. And sometimes we forget the most basic things. That's the qudrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've heard of Einstein. Einstein never ever remembered his telephone number. It's true. Einstein never in his entire life memorized his telephone number. He just couldn't remember it. Each time he used to ring the switchboard and tell him, put me through. And once Einstein walked up and down his road, repeatedly, because he forgot his house number. We may laugh at him, but at least he could remember what he wanted to. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is, well, amazing. He would forget. And you know what kind of things he would forget? He says, sometimes I would receive letters from my relatives. And they would send me salam. My own relatives, my own cousins, they would send me salam and greetings. And I'd make mental note that I would reply to them later. And then later I would sit down with pen and paper to write, to reply to these greetings. Sometimes the greetings would come verbally. I would sit down to reply to these greetings, and by Allah, I would not remember the names of my cousins. That's Bukhari. I would not remember the names of my own relatives. Everyone forgets. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, and that doesn't mean Imam Bukhari's memory was faulty. Bukhari, once he said, I thought to myself, just like I mentioned to you that Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu had 800 ashab, meaning students, proper. So Sayyidina Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi says, once I just thought to myself, who were the students and the companions and the ashab of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu? And he said, in a moment, I recall 300 names. Names, names. Can we even name 300 names amongst friends, relatives and colleagues and acquaintances? In a flash, he remembered 300 students of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. He'll remember what he wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him for that. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I forget. Pray for me that Allah allows me to remember. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, bring me this piece of cloth, a blanket. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laid it out. He told Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, grab two ends. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed two ends. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began relating hadith. Some hadith, not all of them, just a few hadith. And saying something. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu to symbolically gather the cloth, to gather the blanket. So both he and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the blanket. And then he gathered and pulled the blanket to himself, clutching it to his chest. After that, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu says, I never ever forgot whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me. Never. And that was proven. Once, he would sit all night long after Isha till Fajr on occasions, relating hadith continuously. Continuously. And once Marwan, the governor of Medina, he invited Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu and he called a scribe and he told him to sit down and he told Abu Hurairah, relate hadith. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu began relating hadith as though he's a hafiz of the Quran. They would call it sardul hadith, meaning once al-Mu'minin Aisha radiyallahu anha, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah was seated outside her house and he was relating hadith. So someone asked, and then after relating the hadith, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu said to her, O Ummul Mu'mineen, do you object to anything that we relate? She said, no. Illa anni la asrudul haditha kasardikum. Except that I don't relate hadith the way you do. Meaning? What does that mean? Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha, when she would relate hadith, it would be done in a very deliberate manner as though it was conversation. But with Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he was like, just rattling away, not in the bad sense, but just
quick repetition of the ahadith, as though he was reading tilawah of the Quran, just like someone reads Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, fast, without hesitation, without pause. And the reason for that was he was a hafiz of the ahadith. That was the reason. That's the manner in which Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu would relate hadith. So he would never forget. So Marwan had him sit down, and Sayyidina Abu Hurairah was relating hadith. He had a scribe. The scribe was recording everything that Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said. It was a very long gathering. After that, the scribe says, 1 year later, close to 1 year later, Marwan called him again. And he told him to relate the same hadith. And this time the scribe was comparing the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu a year later with what he had recorded and written down and transcribed a year earlier. He says, by Allah, not one letter did he misplace here or there. That was Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So he was a hafiz of the hadith. Many stories can be told about how he miraculously lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, suffering hunger, privations, and the miracles that were manifested at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and how he stood up for justice, the truth. He wouldn't shy away from the truth. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that once we were travelling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were extremely hungry. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me and said, Abu Hurairah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we are hungry. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, do you have anything with you? He said, yes, I've got a bag of dates. She said, bring them. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu brought this bag of dates. And the Sahaba were all hungry. Abu Hurairah had only one bag. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lay a sheet out on the ground. Then, when he laid out that sheet, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give me your bag. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand inside the bag and brought out the dates. Counted them. You know how many there were? 21 dates. That was his provision for the journey. 21 dates. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took each date out, prayed over that date, and placed it. 21 dates in total. Then he said, O Abu Hurairah, same. Go and call the companions. So the companions came. Wallahi, they all ate from those 21 dates, and they were still the same. To their fill. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, O Abu Hurairah, he took the bag, and he put the dates back in. And then said, O Abu Hurairah, whenever you want, take from the bag, but don't spread them out. Meaning, put your hand in the bag and take dates out to eat, but do not ever open the bag and throw out the dates. You know what Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says? Subhanallah. That bag lasted. From that time, he had it hung from the roof of his house. It lasted all the way through the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the life of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, and all the way till the time Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was martyred. When Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was martyred and the door of fitna opened upon the ummah, that bag of dates disappeared. That bag of dates disappeared. So, this is how they learned. This is how they preserved. This is how they narrated. This was their taqwa, their fear. And he wasn't just a man who would relate. Allahu Akbar. It's related of him that he actually had a tasbih. He had a string with 2,000 beads in. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, 2,000 beads. And he wouldn't go to sleep at night without completing that tasbih of 2,000 beads. And that was just one tasbih. On other others say that he had a litany, a tasbih of 12,000 tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day he would recite tasbih and do dhikr of 12,000. One person says, I went to visit Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He was lying down and there was a bag of stones and date stones. And he would read and fling a date stone to that. When the bag would become full, he'd ask for it again and he'd start repeating it again. Dhikr. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. In fact, he used to tell the people, he said, you say I relate many hadith to you? He said, if it wasn't a verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I wouldn't relate anything to you. And you know what that verse is? Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنَهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. That those, indeed those, who conceal what we have revealed to them of clear guidances, of proof, of clear guidance and proofs, after we have clarified it and exposed it to the people, these are the ones whom Allah curses and those who curse. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, if it wasn't for this verse, you say I relate too many hadith to you, by Allah, if it wasn't for this verse, I wouldn't relate a single hadith to you. Not a single one. And he had knowledge, he knew. In fact, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he used to famously say, and again this is contained in Bukhari, he says, حَفِظْتُ وِعَائَيْنِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ I have memorized two containers from Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. As for one, I have dispersed it. As for the other, I have not dispersed it. I have not opened it. And if I was to, لَقُطِعَ هَذَا الْبُلْعُومِ This throat of mine would be slit. What does that mean? This ummah will always face fitna. And the ulama, most ulama agree that the meaning of this hadith is Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam had informed Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu an of the various fitnas that would afflict the ummah, the time of trials and tribulations when the princes of Banu Umayyah of the Umayyad dynasty would become rulers over the Muslims, including over the companions, and the days of fitna would begin, especially after Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab and after the martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. And Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu knew of this. He knew, in fact, he knew so much, but he was sure and convinced that if I, even during that time, if I was to speak, my throat would be slit. These people of fitna would slit my throat. So he never. But he knew what was going on, and that's why he would actually make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ra'si sittin wa imarati sabiyan. Oh Allah, I seek protection in you, and I seek refuge in you. I seek your protection and refuge in you from the turn of the 60th year and from the leadership of the children. And by Allah, before the 60th year of Hijrah, he fell severely ill. Marwan, who was one of the Umayyad princes, went to visit him. Marwan prayed in his presence and said, may Allah cure you and increase your life. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu made another dua to Allah. He said, Allah, O Allah, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ لِقَاءَكَ فَأَحِبَّ لِقَائِي Oh Allah, I desire to meet you, therefore please desire to meet me. Marwan left the room and he had not gone a short distance and Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu passed away before the 60th year. That was that taqwa, that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ibadah. One of the Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal relates a hadith in his Musnad that one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum says, Abu Uthman al-Nahdi, that I invited Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu to stay with me for 7 days. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he would divide his night into three portions. One, he would sleep. Two, he would stand for prayer in tahajjud. And third portion, he would relate and recite the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is just a sample of the life of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. His knowledge, his sacrifice. And what did he do? 4 years he suffered hunger and privations, sacrificed everything to cling to the company of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And after that, he did not sit idle, but he taught, relating hadith, narrating hadith, teaching people, advising people, answering people, guiding people. That was his duty. He continued this all the way till the grand old age of 78. He was in his 30s when he embraced Islam. For 47 years, or maybe over 50 years, for close to 50 or over 50 years, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, remained engaged in the preaching of the ummah, in teaching the ummah, in sacrificing his time and everything that he had in teaching the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That remained the case till the end. And in the process, he endured abuse, he endured criticisms, he endured so much. And he was fearful. That's why he would not speak about certain issues. Why? He made it clear that my throat will be slit. And that was during those days of fitna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy
on the soul of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. Allah be pleased with him. Allah has instilled in our hearts true love for both him and his mother. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a true believer will love him. What we should do is follow in his footsteps. Adopt his example. It's all very good and well going through his life in that manner. But what lessons should be learned from the life and learning of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu? We should be willing to make similar sacrifices, to endure privations, hunger, to give up the rest of the world. In fact, when he died, he was weeping. He was weeping. Someone said to him, "Why do you weep?" He said, "I do not weep because of the love of the dunya, but I weep because of the great distance that awaits me on my journey and my lack of provisions for that journey." The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ibadah of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, devotion and dedication to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, firmness of conviction of the truthfulness of his words. Remember that story I related in the beginning of his mother? He wept out of sorrow and grief. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, pray for my mother." Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made one dua, just one dua. Only upon hearing that dua, he left and fled, running to his house to give his mother the glad tidings. Because he was convinced, he was assured that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua here, reality will manifest itself there. He knew. Firmness and conviction in the belief of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, and a devotion and dedication to the cause of learning and to the cause of deen and Allah's religion and the words of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As a result, the whole ummah is indebted to Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. We should learn from him, emulate his example in every way, not just zeal of learning. Because remember, this is a mistake that we make. Books, information, that's information. There's a great difference between ilm and information. Knowledge and information. One's head may be crammed with bits and data and facts and figures and statistics. That doesn't do anything for someone. True knowledge is that which is in the mind but also corresponds to something in the heart. True knowledge is a light that Allah bestows upon a person and places and instills in his heart. He sees more through the light of knowledge than just through the mind of knowledge. That's true ilm. That's what Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu had. That's what the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had. And that's the kind of knowledge that we should be striving to seek and gain, learn, preserve and preach. We all have a duty in that regard. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the tawfiq to adopt the example of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu an and follow in his footsteps in every way. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulih nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
This lecture was delivered by Sheikh Abu Yusuf Riyad al-Haq and has been brought to you by Al-Kawthar Productions. For information on our products and services, please visit our website at www.akacademy.eu. We can also be contacted by phone on 0121-773-5191. Alternatively, you can write to us at AK Productions, PO Box 6008, Birmingham, B10-0UW, United Kingdom. All rights reserved for Al-Kawthar Productions and the author. Any unauthorized distribution, broadcasting, or public performance of this recording will constitute a violation of copyright.